We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for another week at in Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are tuned into the Refresh radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, two blocks north of 522, blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And we are so thankful that you have tuned in today to the Refresh radio broadcast. We are coming off our missions convention. We'll be bringing a report on that to you here. Our project this last weekend was on ministering to the refugees in the Ukraine that have experienced a displacement from their homes because of the conflict that is going on over there. The report that I had been sharing, that I shared on the radio last week, was that there had been there were 900,000 people displaced, and then later in the week, last week, there was another city that became a conflict zone, and so I'm expecting that number is going to arise, and I just believe that it is a great door of opportunity. So as soon as we have all of the numbers in, we will bring you a report. And thank you to everybody who brought out clothing items or blankets, food supplies, or donated resources to minister to this very urgent crisis. We want to say thank you for partnering with us and touching lives and transforming them by the power of Jesus Christ. So today we are going to be in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter. And today I just want to remind you about Advanced Christian Training Schools, the free video Bible school. They will be meeting tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. They meet from 6 to 9 p.m. It's a very small format, and so if you are able to come out, listen, here is my observation, and that is this. We are not living in a day and time where we can be apathetic about our faith in Jesus Christ any longer. The intimidation, the persecution around the globe, the oppression of Christians here, even in America right now, it is intensifying to the point where you can no longer afford, and I can no longer afford, to remain at the same level of faith that we have been. We need to be very active in our faith. We need to be maturing in our walk with the Lord. And so I challenge you, if you have not yet begun to study the Word of God, study the Word of God. Know your God. It says the people that know their God shall do great exploits. And so this is not a time to be cowering in fear. And instead, it is a time to be maturing in our faith. That's what Advanced Christian Training Schools wants to help you to do. We it's not a ministry of our church per se. It just meets in our fellowship hall Tuesday nights. And so it would be a blessing to you. And the cost is great, free. And, if you can find an offer better than free, I say take it. We're going to be in Matthew, the 11th chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse number 25. And it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have been talking about things that God longs to give us. And here in verse number 28, Jesus promises that there is a gift that he has for us that is a rest that comes from God. It is not a slothfulness, it is a rest. There is a difference. A rest is something that is refreshing. Being slothful is being lazy to the point of neglect. Rest is recuperating from a very active season in your life so that you can once again be very active. And this promise is very interesting because it says that in order to receive this gift, there has to be a prerequisite that takes place. The prerequisite is that we have to come to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus. And it says, to all you who labor and are heavy laden. So there has to be an act on our part where we say, you know what? I am coming to Jesus. You may have been working in your strength. You may have been working in your might. You may have been doing everything to the best of your ability. And that still does not mean that you don't need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. You may be burdened down with all sorts of shortcomings in your life, strongholds of the enemy, addictions. There may be emotional issues or, how do I want to say it, temper issues that you deal with. There may be things that weigh you down. There might be financial situations that weigh you down. It doesn't matter. It says, whatever it is, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, rest sounds very, very exciting. Rest, when God gives it to you, is absolutely wonderful. And it says that when we do that, that when we receive that rest, now this is where it's going to get to seem a bit like a paradox, in that you would think one thing about rest, and there's actually a different picture there entirely. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke was a laboring device. It was what they placed upon beasts of burden, if you will, in order to help plow a field or tow something, whatever it might be. But this is not a yoke that is a single yoke. We come from an agricultural area out in Oklahoma, and you know, now most of this stuff has been replaced by tractors. But I have seen what yokes look like. There's a single yoke where one animal is pulling all by themselves. But then there's another yoke, a dual yoke, and that's where you pair up two animals together. And so Jesus takes that word picture, and if you remember, Elisha was plowing with a pair of oxen when Elijah found him. And that's the picture that Jesus is saying here. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, quit trying to pull the load yourself. Instead, enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus. That it's not just, oh, dear Jesus, please get me through this event. Oh, dear Jesus, please get me through this crisis. But instead, it is a covenant relationship where wherever Jesus goes, that's now where we are going. At that point in time, it is, you lead and I will follow. You lead and I will follow. And so it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Remember, I talked about in the intro about it's time to mature in our faith. It's time to mature in our faith. On Wednesday, we will be having our vintage service. This last week, I taught out of Isaiah, the 5th chapter. And let me just turn back there real quick because I want to share this the right way. And it talked about people who were going through a serious time in their life. It says in verse number 12, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. When I read that, I said, you know, I wonder how many people on the street, you know, if we were just talking to people, not in our churches, let's just say we're just talking to the average person on the street, and we ask them this question, do you understand how the hand of God works? Do you understand how the hand of God works? Not do you believe in Jesus, not do you believe in God, do you understand how the hand of God operates? Because here in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the 12th verse, that is one of the things that Isaiah asked them. He said, or told them, he said, these people have no regard for the work of the Lord. They don't consider the operation of his hands. They have no idea how God operates. Verse number 13, it says, therefore my people have gone into captivity, listen to this, because they have no knowledge. They don't know how the kingdom of God operates. I had a conversation with a guy one time, and he said, you know, the only way I know how to think is the way that I think. I would need somebody to teach me how to think differently. And so we've actually done a series of radio programs here on the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven does not operate the same way that this world operates. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, operates from the heart of a servant, from the heart of a servant. Jesus was meek. Doesn't mean he was weak. Look at everything that he went through to go to the cross for your salvation and my salvation. And he went through that, and he did not break. He did not wilt under the pressure. He did not look for the easy way out. So I encourage you today that you and I should be on this journey of learning from Jesus. And Jesus wants to, listen, it is not a classroom lecture. It is a journey. It is a journeying together with him, being yoked in covenant relationship with him. And you and I, listen, he does most of the work, but what a privilege to be partnered with the best. What a privilege to be partnered with the best, but it's not just a mindless journey. He is actually looking for disciples who will learn from him. So I want to ask you, have you been on a journey to learn from the best? Learn from the best. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Okay, so this is what he says. When you learn from me, you are going to find that I am gentle, I'm not harsh. I believe it takes more strength to be gentle than it does to be a brute. Guys, I want to encourage you to be yoked up to Jesus and learn gentleness from him. That doesn't mean that you and I are not supposed to be masculine or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. The world has sown so much confusion into what it is to be a man that we need to go back to the best man that ever lived and say, Jesus, would you teach me how to be a man? Ladies, you could say, Jesus, could you teach me what it is like to have the heart of a servant? Teach me what it is like to be a woman of value, a woman of valor, a woman of virtue. Actually, when I've been told that the word that is used of Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, and then in Proverbs 31, where it talks about a woman of virtue, that it's the same, basic word. And so one we apply to a man, and you know, valor seems great, and then virtuous, but God wants to develop the heart, the same heart in all of us, the heart of compassion, the heart of obedience, the heart of worship, the heart of excellence. God does not do anything without doing it in excellence. So he says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. He's meek in that he's not so full of himself that he just is off doing his own thing. You know, the scripture says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Whenever I go someplace, I'm going to learn. Even when I do these radio broadcasts, when I start putting the materials together, I'm looking and I'm saying, God, I want you to teach me. I want you to teach me, because here's what I have found is that if you have been placed in the position of a teacher, you are going to learn more than what you are going to be able to communicate to the students that you are teaching. And so Jesus, it says here, was lowly in heart. He took on the form of a servant. He knew the task that needed to be done, and he went out and he did it. And he says that when we do that, when we take his yoke upon us, when we learn from him, when we learn gentleness and we learn humility, that he says you will find rest for your souls. Isn't it interesting that a lot of times we think of rest as being something that is just for our body? But here Jesus identifies that there is another form of rest, and that is a rest for your soul, for your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. Sometimes we just need to shut everything down, to be still, and know that God is God. Now, I don't believe that we are to be lazy in our faith, but I believe that there's got to be that time where we receive so that we can be able to pour out again. And so I want to encourage you today to learn from God. You and I, we need rest of people. We need emotional rest. We need spiritual rest. We need physical rest. And I just want to encourage you that if you have just come through a season of intensity, maybe you just finished a project at work, an intense project at work. Maybe you just came through a great time of celebration. You know, last year I celebrated my grandmother's 100th birthday. We celebrate a lot of things. We celebrate when we hear about people being healed. We celebrate when we hear about people getting saved. But Jesus was he was always very attentive to his disciples, and when he realized that there was a season in their life, he would say, "I need you to come away with me, not for another project, but so that you and I can rest." So that rest for our souls is very, very important. And so celebrate the victories that God has done, but also make sure that you take time, not just to pour out, but make sure that before you pour out and after you pour out, that you come back to receive from the Master again. So I believe this, that when I yoked up with Jesus many, many, many years ago, I have no intention of taking that yoke off. I have no intention, because he's still teaching me. He's still teaching me to be the best me that I can be. And I encourage you, if you have not, if you've just been going from an event or encounter with Jesus to another encounter, and you have not yoked up with him, you're missing one of the greatest learning opportunities that you could ever have. Learn from Jesus. You know what? One of the observations that I've seen through the years is that people tend to want to dictate to God how something should be done, instead of humbling themselves and saying, okay, God, you're the one that spoke the worlds into existence. You are the one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. You are the one who is our healer, our peace, our savior. You know what? You lead, I'll follow. You lead, I'll follow. I remember reading a story one time about a person who owned some sled dogs. And in those teams, they function as a team, but there is one dog who leads. And this guy was, I mean, he used these dogs on a regular basis. And he only had one lead dog. And so he thought, you know, I'll help train this other dog to be a lead in case something happens to this one. But the dog that was the lead dog was so driven to be the lead that he didn't appreciate the fact that that other dog was developing skills. He had to be in charge. That's the way a lot of people are in their life. They are afraid to surrender control. I mean, I've seen people afraid to surrender control over little bitty things, over how the floor was swept, or, you know, it had to be done their way. You know, the dishwasher loaded, the items put in the refrigerator. Those are just little bitty things, but that same micromanaging type control manifests itself in relationships. It manifests itself at the job and all sorts of things. Jesus wants all of us to develop. I believe that God has given to each one a unique and wonderful gift. I want to take you on this topic of rest that God gives us to Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse number 7, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of the trial in the wilderness where your fathers tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." So there's a few things here that are threats to the rest that God wants to give us. The first threat that is mentioned is in verse number 8. It says, "Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." If we harden ourselves, if we refuse to listen to God, and we say, "No, I'm not in a position to receive anymore," I don't believe that particular thing there is a hardening from the inside out. I believe it is a callousness on the outside of the heart that no longer allows the heart to receive. But the thing about when something gets hardened, it is no longer functioning at its full extent. You and I, God created us where we need spiritual rest. I believe it or not, I can remember a time in my lifetime where businesses were closed on Sunday. I can remember being in Chicago and department stores would shut down at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night. They shut down at 5 or 6 on Saturday night. I don't even know if they were open on Sunday or not. But there was a realization that they needed rest. And so I encourage you, do not harden your hearts to the Word of God. Do not harden your heart to the fact that you need rest. It's a threat to the rest. It says in verse number 10, "They always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways." That's what I was talking about earlier, where Jesus wants to teach us his ways. If you drop down a little bit and to verse number 18 of chapter 3, it says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." There are two threats there. One in verse number 18, and that is disobedience is a threat to spiritual rest. I wonder how much of what we are experiencing in society with people being overwhelmed with anxiety and fear, apprehension, I wonder how much of that is due to disobedience that we have as a society to the mandates of God. You see, the Word of God is being more and more marginalized in our society. We want to talk about it with our lips, but we don't want to live it out in our daily lives. It goes on and it identifies another threat, and it says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief, not believing what God has said in his word and what he says about what we need, that will prevent us from entering his rest. As I was preparing to come and do this broadcast, I got to thinking about it and realized that the children of Israel, all that time that they were in the wilderness, they thought they were going to the promised land. They thought that the promised land was the destination. And I believe that what God was trying to get them to was to that place of spiritual rest. Now, I'm thankful for the promised land. I'm thankful for the inheritance and all of that. But he was really trying to get them to a place where they did not have hardened hearts, where they would listen to him, know his ways, they would obey what he said, and then they would have experienced a supernatural rest like they could have never imagined. It goes on into chapter 4, and it says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, that promise is still in effect. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that promise is still available. If we will come and take his yoke upon us and learn of him and be humble, be gentle, there you and I will experience the rest. It says in verse number 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it, for we who have believed do enter that rest. And so when we hear the word of God, when you are hearing this broadcast today, you have got to combine it with faith. It has got to be mixed with faith. And then when we have believed, we enter that rest. If you are a believer today in the word of God, that rest is available for you. And in verse number 7, the writer of Hebrews emphasized that it is today. You can have on Monday when everybody else is living with, we got another long week ahead of us. You can say, no, you know what? Today, on this Monday, God is going to give me the supernatural rest. He's going to give me rest for my soul, rest for my body, rest for my spirit, so that I can obey him and walk it out in faith. Verse number 11 concludes, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. You're not just going to accidentally stumble into it. It has got to be a proactive step on your part to say, God, I want to obey you. I want to listen to you. I want to learn of you. I want to be yoked together with you because I know you created me for rest. Father, today I pray that the rest of God would be imparted to everybody who's listening today. Lord, that we would be walking in agreement with you, that we would be learning of you and becoming more like you with each step. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it